استغنائيه independence, for one to maintain independence from the creation. Person must be independent of the creation, but not from the creator. You can't be independent of Allah Ta'ala. Person must be independent of the creation. In fact, Hazrat Maulana Abdul Haq Magna Sahib, Salaam Barakatuh, he always mentions this. Don't have your hopes on anyone. Don't pin your hopes on anybody. Once you pin your hopes on someone, then there is room for disappointment. She's going to cook this for me, or she's going to do that for me. When I come home, she's going to be very happy to see me. It doesn't entertain any of those hopes. And now when he comes home, so if she cooks something, shukar alhamdulillah. If she smiled at him, shukar alhamdulillah. If she didn't do that, he won't be disappointed because he didn't have any of those hopes. The wife also, she mustn't have hopes on the husband. He is going to do this for me or do that for me. Now if he doesn't do, then she gets upset. But if she entertained no hopes, right, now even if he does something small, she would be very happy. And if he doesn't do, no problem. So a person must not pin his hopes. Children must not pin their hopes on their parents. Parents must not pin their hopes on their children. That, no, I did this for them, I did that for them. So, when they grow up, now inshallah, you know, they'll see for us and they'll see for the mother and do. You don't have any hopes. Right? So with regards to the makhluk, with regards to the creation, a person must be independent. Independent doesn't mean he must be arrogant. Arrogant is something else. Independent is something else. There we have to beg. There we have to beg, we have to ask. It is forbidden. It is forbidden to adopt an independent attitude when it comes to Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali is mentioning that if it was not necessary to ask, sometime a person has this attitude, no, there's no need for me to ask, whatever Allah Ta'ala will do, Allah will do, there's no need. Piety or something, that no, I won't ask for anything, however Allah wants to treat me, Allah will treat me. I won't even ask. If that was something of, you know, like a piety or something commendable, then Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam would not have asked. Hazrat Rahmatullah alayhi mentioned Sayyidul Kawneen sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He would not have asked. And then Hazrat ji asked, is my voice reaching you? Hazrat ji was, as I said to you, this was one of the last majalis in his life. At that time he was very weak. He's still conducting the majlis. So his voice also is a bit weak. So he's asking, he said, no, is my voice reaching you? He asked more from Allah Ta'ala than we ask. Where can our du'as compare with the du'as of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How much Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked? Today's time, we wish all our problems away. But sometimes it is that problem that is keeping us connected with Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise, if that problem was not there, we won't even make du'a. Allah Ta'ala, we don't ask for problems. But sometimes Allah Ta'ala puts some challenge. Allah Ta'ala promises us in the Quran Sharif, He's going to test us. And those tests sometimes, they make us beg of Allah. This is why Hazrat Shaki Maktar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he mentioned in that one couplet of his, لذتِ فریاد طوفانوں میں ہے کون کہتا ہے کنارہ چاہیے. The enjoyment of crying out to Allah Ta'ala, that real enjoyment is in the midst of the storms. Who's saying we want the shore? Who's saying we want to reach the shore? Now, we mustn't say like that. We must always ask for afia. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that we must ask Allah Ta'ala for afiyat. Sallallahu al-afiyah. Ask Allah Ta'ala for afiyat, for well-being. Afiyat means well-being. Whether it is financial well-being, our health, family, whatever it is, ask Allah Ta'ala for well-being. But if a difficulty comes about, we must bear it with patience and cry to Allah, make dua to Allah, right? Our asking is insignificant compared to the amount that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even knew how much Allah Ta'ala loved him. How much Allah Ta'ala loved him. And that Zat-e Bari Ta'ala had given him the title of Habib. The meaning of which is Mahbub. Mahbub is the one who is greatly loved. The one who is greatly loved. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam was given the title of Khalilullah, the friend of Allah. What is the meaning of a friend? A friend is a muhib. A friend is a muhib. The friend of Allah is a muhib, one who loves Allah Ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is called Habib, Mahbub, one who is loved by Allah Ta'ala. It's a big difference. Very, very big difference. Today's time, it's a big fitna. The fitna of this Abrahamic Accord is so sad that in Muslim countries also now, so many acts of shirk and all these things are taking place. So, the stepping stone to the Abrahamic Accord is they try to certain Allah Ta'ala protect us all, but they try to influence those that don't have too much of knowledge, try to influence them that no, you see, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was of a very high status. So we don't have to be influenced with regards to that. We know that. We know that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam holds a very, very high status. But as high as that status may be, it cannot be compared to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's status is much, much higher. Much, much higher. It is also a known fact that the one who loves another will keep the loved one happy. When Allah Ta'ala loves Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will He not keep Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam happy? Out of love, He will present gifts to him without the beloved even asking. Without the beloved even asking, the lover will give gift to the beloved. Yet despite the fact that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the beloved of Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept on asking time and time again. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked for every type of thing. Everything he would ask. Anything he needed, he would ask Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Moez Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say in his dua that, O Allah, if we beg of insan, insan becomes upset. You ask insan one time, he may say, all right, never mind. He'll help one time, two times. After that, he get upset, man. This person is becoming a parasite now. This person is becoming a pain now. Now when you see that person coming to his shop, he quickly tell the worker, he say, I'm not here. I'm busy. I'm busy in an important meeting. Can't be disturbed. But Allah Ta'ala loves his banda so much that when the bandas don't ask of Allah, Allah gets upset. When the bandas don't ask of Allah, Allah gets upset. So we have to keep begging of Allah Ta'ala. Keep, Hazrat Moez Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, hum mangte mangte thak jate hai. That we ask little and we get tired. We make in dua, we get tired. Wo dete dete thakte nahi. But Allah Ta'ala gives and gives and gives. Allah doesn't get tired. Allah Ta'ala doesn't get tired. So, where is the line? Where is the line that I must ask of Allah Ta'ala, but I must be pleased with whatever Allah gives? Where is the line? So this also Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make dua to Allah Ta'ala. Whatever, he would beg Allah Ta'ala, make whole nights. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making dua to Allah Ta'ala, whole nights. So what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must have been asking. Right? But at the end, Allahumma hadha dua. Oh Allah, this is my dua. I am making this dua. This is my dua. Wa alaykal ijaba. But upon you is to accept it. That's in your prerogative now. How you want to accept it, what you want to do with it, in which form you want to accept it, that's left up to you. My job is to ask. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to read that one couplet. Khole ho ya na khole dar, uspe ho kyu teri nazar. Tu to apna kaam kar, yani par paraye ja. Whether the gate opens or don't open, the malik of the bird, whether he opens the cage or he don't open the cage, why are you looking at that? You just carry on doing your work. You flap your wings. That's our work, to carry on making dua. Right? How Allah Ta'ala wants to accept the dua, Allah will accept it. Our frustrations is because we want to dictate to Allah Ta'ala how we want our dua accepted. We want to dictate. Can a beggar be a dictator? Can a slave be a dictator? The other day, one of the students from the girls' madrasa, they sent a query, said, how do we advise a person who says that I have given up making dua now, because for so long I've been making dua, and it's not materializing. Whatever the person's problem was, or need was, or whatever, say, I'm making dua, it's not materializing, so I gave up making dua now. So you give up making dua, who is going to hurt? You're only going to hurt yourself. Can you ask anybody else? Is there any other door you're going to knock? Can't knock any other door. So our work is to keep making dua to Allah Ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that, O Allah, this is the explanation of Allahumma hadha dua wa alayka al-ijaba. This is my dua, now it is upon you, acceptance is upon you. O Allah, whatever I am asking from you, this is just my asking. This is my asking. To grant, that is your task. I got no control over that. What you're going to grant, how you're going to grant, that is left up to you. All I am doing is asking from you because this is my duty. My duty is to beg. My duty is to beg. Nabi Sasram is also saying, to accept the dua is your task according to expediency, according to suitability, and in which there will be safety for me. I may be asking for something, but that is not good for me. My iman won't be safe for that. Allah Ta'ala, in His infinite wisdom, in His perfect knowledge, Allah Ta'ala knows what's best for me. Whatever condition is best for me, Allah Ta'ala will keep me in that condition. I may be asking for another condition. I can ask, no problem. Keep on asking, no problem. Right? But Allah will grant according to His wisdom. So in which there will be safety for me accompanied by your wisdom, according to these aspects, you will grant my dua. So to grant, for Allah Ta'ala to grant, to accept that dua, to grant, this has two meanings. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali is explaining this has two meanings. One meaning is to accept. Meaning, your request has been accepted. You made a request. Your request has been accepted. When the ruler of a state, if the ruler of a state has told you, they made some rules, right? Say, for example, you want to apply for a firearm. Right? So the government has got rules. So you want to apply for a firearm. So what you must do is you must go and get a competency certificate. Then after that, you must go and purchase a firearm. Then you must go to the police station and you must put in an application. And then you got to put your fingerprints here and there. And you go to sign here and there and put one photo here and there. Right? So the government is giving you the tartib, how to do it. So why are they giving you all that, how to do it? Because if you follow that whole procedure, they want to give you the license. They're showing you the procedure. So if you follow the procedure, they want to give you the license. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Sharif is giving us so many du'as. Allah is teaching us how to beg of Him, how to ask of Him, right? Allah ta'ala teaches us, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَرْحَمْ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. O Allah, You forgive, You have mercy, You are the best of those who show mercy. رَبَّنَا لَا تُعَاخِرْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا وَأَخْطَعْنَا. Ya Allah, don't take us to task if we forget, if we err, we make some mistakes. Don't take us to task. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً. O Allah, give unto us in the world whatever is good. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. And give us good of the akhirat. وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And safeguard us from the punishment of the fire, right? For parents, Allah Ta'ala teaches us, رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. So when Allah Ta'ala has taught the words, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us the procedure, how to make dua. So why is Allah Ta'ala giving the words? Why is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam teaching the procedure? Because Allah wants to accept the dua. Allah wants to accept the dua. One can see, as is shown to us in many different places, the words to be used in our requests. What words also, which words we must use to make dua. Even that Allah Pak never leave it to us. Yes, you can make dua in your own words also, it's fine. But Allah Ta'ala didn't leave it entirely to us. He even taught us the words, what words you must use. So if the requests are made in those very words, will the request not be granted? Definitely they will be granted. However, the manifestation of how it is granted, that is left to Allah Ta'ala. Now a person sometimes is not well, or his child is not well, or his wife is not well, whatever the situation, now he's becoming desperate now. He's getting frustrated now. He's carrying on for so long, and now he's, you know, getting worse, and like this, and like that. Now this is desperation and frustration for what? For what is all this? Why are we getting upset? Why are we becoming impatient? Why are we complaining? For what? Did we become the master now? That no, I put in a request. Now why I'm not seeing it like this? No, I am the slave. I have put in my request. I have followed all the procedures. I have put in my request. I followed the procedures which Allah Ta'ala and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have given me. So my request is accepted. Right? My request is accepted. The manifestation of that acceptance, that is left to Allah Ta'ala. Beware, should a mu'min ask for haram things, then obviously that won't be accepted. Should one ask for impermissible things, there is no question that this will be done. Sometimes I guess some people, they write, Allahumma fazna, we mustn't laugh, because sometimes they don't have the knowledge. They are ignorant, right? To us it may seem like common sense, to them sometimes they don't have the knowledge, and sometimes they got the knowledge but they're so caught up in the ghaflat. Right? That the knowledge is not coming to the front. Can happen. When you are caught up in a guna, then you can't see the right thing. Your mind is clouded. Your mind is clouded. The other day one person was showing me. He's saying, Maulana, look through the scope. Got a red dot. So look through the scope, got a red dot. So I closed my eye, one eye, and I'm looking. So he said, why are you closing your eye? So I said, now I'm looking with a stronger eye. So he said, no. The reason for the dot is to, you must keep both your eyes open. Because if both your eyes are open, then you'll be able to take in your surrounds. But if only one eye is open, you can only see like a tunnel. So that happens to us when we go into ghaflat. When we go into ghaflat, then we get tunnel visioned. We only see one thing. One thing, we want to see it according to our opinion, and we'll prove it too. We'll prove it from Quran, we'll prove it from Hadith. But we tunnel visioned on that aspect. Right? And we're only looking at it through that. We're not taking in our surrounds. You're not looking at something holistically. What are all the other ahkam of Shariat? What are all the other laws of the Shariat? You got to take everything in. So sometime people write, say, Maulana, you know, now I'm chatting with this girl now. I'm chatting with this girl and I really want to get married to her. You know, and now, you know, her parents, they are holding back a little bit. But Allah Pak won't make me have such feelings for this girl if it wasn't right for me to marry her. Now who is blaming? Allah Ta'ala. He is doing haram. He is doing guna. He is blaming Allah Ta'ala. You know what a dangerous thing that is. How dangerous. What a dangerous statement. But a person is caught up in a ghaflat at that time. He's caught up in a ghaflat. He's not looking at things that in the first place, this relationship is haram. In the first place, you're not supposed to be communicating with this person. So if a person has to make dua for haram things, impermissible things, then obviously that, there's no question that though that's going to be accepted. That's not going to be accepted. So this is the line. Hazrat Rahmatullah is summarizing it now. This is the line. What should be done is to forward our needs. We must forward our needs to Allah Ta'ala. And the needs can change from time to time. Person's needs change, right? So you can change also. Whatever du'as you are making for, you make the du'a, you can add on more and more du'as. Remember, the request has been accepted. As soon as you presented the request has been accepted. Must have that yaqeen. Right? So this is the first meaning of qabool. The dua is accepted. Every dua that we make, it is accepted. We must have this conviction that the dua is accepted. The second meaning is when, where, and how. When, where, and how. The first thing we got to understand, the dua is accepted. Now, when, where, and how? That's the second part now. When will the manifestation of the acceptance take place? How will it take place? Where will it take place? Three words have been mentioned. When, where, and how. Now, what is the answer to this? A person wants to know now that, all right, my dua has been accepted. But when am I going to see it? Where am I going to see it? How am I going to see it? The answer to that question is one word. One word. Tafweez. Tafweez. Wa ufawwidu amri ila Allah. Inna Allaha basirun bil ibad. I have handed the matter over to Allah. Allah is watchful over His servants. So when, where, how, that's not for us to worry about. Our job is only to ask. Ask. Pinjre mein par paraye ja. Carry on, flap those wings, keep begging, keep asking. That's our work. When, where, and how, we're going to see the acceptance. That's not our work. That I have handed over. The anjam, the end result of the dua. This we have handed over to Allah Ta'ala. Remember very well that tafweez is the personal right of Zat-e-Bari Ta'ala. Whereas tasleem is the right that Zat-e-Bari Ta'ala has on the mu'min banda. The right that Allah Ta'ala has on us is taslim. We must accept. Allah's right over us is we must hand over the matter to Allah. A person got some, I'm not saying you must do it, but there is some dispute or something. Now he goes to a lawyer, right? He goes to a senior counsel, whatever. And he says, now this is my case, right? This is my whole problem. This is my whole story. And I need you to fight this case for me. Now, what is the lawyer's right over you? You hand the case over to him now. Let him fight it. That's why you went to him. Now he must fight it in a way that he feels is best. Now if you're going to hand over the case to him and then you're still dictating to him, now how is he going to fight the case? Now you the lawyer or he's the lawyer? Who's the lawyer? I had one friend, you know. So whenever we used to drive somewhere, young days, so if we're going, so if I tell him, you know what, you can go this way. So he say, you know what, every man has his own roots. Everybody got his own roots. Right? So I know my route now, which route I'm taking. Allah Ta'ala has got His way of dealing with every one of us. We are so privileged. We are so privileged that each one of us, Allah Ta'ala personally deals with us. Each and every one of us. Allah is personally dealing with us. You know, this morning, this reading will conclude on this. Next week, inshallah, we'll discuss more about tafweez and tasneem. But Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, when his brothers threw him in the well, right? The brothers threw him in the well. At that time when he was in the well, Allah Ta'ala informs him at that time. And he's still a small child now. He's thrown in the well. Allah Ta'ala tells him at that time that you will inform them about what they did. Right? And at that time, they won't recognize you. Now how complete is Allah's knowledge? Doesn't Allah Ta'ala have control over the entire future? The entire workings of this world? Whatever was going to happen, according to some narrations, 40, 50 years, 70 years, 80 years, the different narrations, so many years later, that took place. Allah Ta'ala is telling Yusuf alayhi salam now, when he's a child in the well, that you are going to inform them about this at a time when they won't recognize you. So each one of us, now a person is going through some halat, he's, you know, Allah is not listening to me. How can you have that thought? How can you have the thought that Allah is not listening to me? Allah is not seeing me. No. Each one of us, Allah knows. Each. Forget what our problems are. Allah knows how many strands of hair on our head. That too Allah knows. And Allah is taking care of everything. We just have to remain in the obedience of Allah. Show that we are Allah's bandas. Keep crying to Allah Ta'ala. And then, however Allah wants to accept the dua, we must accept. Make taslim. Hand the matter over to Allah and make taslim. Tafweez, taslim. Allah Ta'ala yuwastufi. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Rabbana faghfir lana dhunubana wa kaffir anna sayyiatina wa tawaffana ma'al abrar. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana. وقنا عذاب النار اللهم إنا نسألك الصحة والعفة والأمانة وحسن الخلق والرضا بالقدر برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله.